I love that song. That is great and powerful. Well, good morning again. We're glad to be with all of you again. Would you take your Bibles, turn them to Daniel chapter 9. We'll be going there for just a moment. It's time to dismiss for Children's Church. So if you're a part of Children's Church or a part of the group that's teaching them, or one of the kids going, then ask you to dismiss yourself just now. Today we are going to do something a little more unusual. We're going to have a concert of prayer. What we're going to have in just a few moments, we're going to ask that all of you pray. Not simply that somebody leads us in prayer, but that all of you pray. Now you say, I've never prayed in public before. I don't know how to pray. I understand that. But you can't learn any younger. And if that's the case, then you don't necessarily have to say anything. Just make sure your heart's in the right place. All right? But what we're going to do, we'll pause three times to have prayer this morning. So you'll be praying for with the people behind you, in front of you. You'll be praying people with the pew with you. You can kind of make that decision yourself about how you want to divide yourself up. But we have three movements we're going to look at this morning. The first one's called Take Responsibility. The second one will be called Turn to God. And the third one will be called Trust God. The three movements of prayer are going to be confession. Then it's looking at the promises of God. And then finally, it's giving thanks. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It says, I thank you because you will answer prayer. But here's what we're going to know. If we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the prayers that we've asked. Now, the good thing is that prayers are to be motivated by the word of God, not out of desire. As we read the word of God, that motivates our prayer. That tells us how we're supposed to pray. So we're going to read a passage of scripture together. From Daniel chapter 9. So if you'd stand with me, we'll read this passage of scripture. We'll be looking at more of it as we work our way through the message itself. But today we're just looking at Daniel 9, 3, 4, 5, and 17, 18, 19. Daniel 9, 3 says this, Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments.
Now, therefore,
O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Finally, read, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. You can be seated just now. And once again, if you take out an outline, you don't have any blanks to fill in today. Because I didn't necessarily want you looking at the blanks or making sure that you got them all, you didn't get them all. Let that be a concern to you, because we really want to focus on what we're doing today. I'm at Daniel chapter 9, and verse 1 and 2. I want you to look at what he says here. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I want you to consider with me this. Daniel said he was reading the Bible. Me just reading the Bible. And as he's reading through the Bible, especially the book of Jeremiah, he found this. That Israel was going to, the Jewish people, I should say, in this situation, were going to be under captivity for only 70 years. Only 70 years. That it was going to end at that time, and he's going to restore Israel. That's what he said he was going to do. And Daniel's reading it. Daniel is in his 80s at this point. He has to be at least that much. And as he's reading this, he's already been through all of the Chaldean time, all the Babylonian. That's three at least kings of the Babylonians. And now he's under Ahasuerus, the Mede and the Persian. So he's already seen the downfall of Babylon, just like God said he was going to do. And now he's recognized that Jeremiah had told him it's only going to be 70 years. So based on those promises, prayer was his motivation, because this is what he knew from the law. That whenever God's people call out to him and cry out to him, wherever they are, he will restore them. If they do so with a full heart, a faithful heart, he would restore them. So Daniel saw that. And reading that, he knows that this is what the law required. This is what the scriptures had said was going to take place. Now he's praying that God would do what he said he would do. Isn't that simple? You say, well, why pray if God's going to do what he said he's going to do? God not only ordained what he's going to do, he ordained the means through which he was going to do it. He has ordained prayer and the prayer of God's people in faith to turn to him for him to do the very thing he said he's going to do. Why? It's kind of simple. Do you want what I want? You see, that's what he wants to hear from people. Do you want what I want? This is what I say I'm going to do. Do you want that? The prayer that's back to him says, yes, I want that. It's like when Jesus said, I am coming quickly. And John, in the book of Revelation, hears what Jesus says. And he says, then even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I know you're going to do it. Well, I'm setting my heart. I want it. Come. When a people prays, they are praying for God to do what he said he was going to do. You say, well, he's going to do it. No, he ordained the means by which it's going to be. His people's humbled hearts crying out to him for the very thing he said. That's what he says. When you pray anything according to my will, he hears you. We want to be those people who pray according to his will. So I think what I will do to start this, let's look at our introduction just for a moment. We first of all get an understanding of God and who he is. Now, I know this may not be much for us. We've been thinking about this for quite some time. God is sovereign. This is his world. He created this world. And if I can say it further, he's got a timeline. He already knows exactly what he's going to do. He is big and he is in charge. He is too good to do evil, and he does respond to the evil of people. He does. And God has a plan for bringing all things to a close in the Lord Jesus Christ. More about that in just a moment. That is his plan. Israel was a key player in that plan. So consequently, when Daniel reads this, he recognizes the restoration of Israel is important in the salvation of the world. Daniel's going to be given a prophecy at the end of his request here that's going to knock his socks off, to be real frank with you. At those days, they wore Babylonian socks. That's what, you have to change. Anyway, they got knocked off. He's going to look at this and he's going to simply say, wow. That's more than I know how to handle. I'm simply asking that you restore us back to Jerusalem again, and you just gave me history. You just gave to me everything that's going to happen all the way up to the end. You've given me information about a Messiah. You've given me information about the full restoration of the whole earth. And I was just asking for the restoration of us to the city. Look, when we're praying for things, we need to get a bigger picture. Now, look, I said secondly, you need to come to grips that his plan is bigger than yours. His plan's always bigger than yours. He has a plan, kids, that he's made us a part of. When you were born again, he brought you into his family to be a part of his overall kingdom, his overall working of everything, and you are a member of that. You're deep into that, friends, whether you wanted it or not. And you're deep in it. He has drawn you into this thing. He's saying, you're my kids. And I want you to know what our family plan is. This is what we have in mind. You are so privileged, you get to know it. There's a whole lot of this world doesn't even have a clue what's going on. But you are a child of God, and you get to know what Dad said he's going to do. And this he will do. He is sovereign. He's ruler over all. So it's to get a grip. His plan is bigger than yours. And if I can extend that into the national, his plan is bigger than America. I know that may be hard to grasp, but I want you to get this. It's bigger than America. It's not simply that we can restore America to its greatness or that it's already great. Stop. It is about the kingdom of God. When you were born into this kingdom of God, you were born as a child of God, and you took a step back onto eternity just long enough to say, wow, that's really immense. That's bigger than I ever imagined. Yes, it is. Now, let me go on further to say, realize he's going to complete his plan, that he's not obligated to complete yours. If by his grace and pleasure he completes your goals and objectives as a part of his glory, but if in his wisdom he sees yours is not working, that it will not work with his, then he's not going to complete yours. I don't care if you're a nation or an individual. Your goals and plans fit his. He works them where they need to. When your goals and plans do not, he does not work them where he needs to. But he is going to work all things according to his plan. Wouldn't it be great if we knew what his plan was? I'm glad you asked that. Let's go to Ephesians 1:10 just for a moment. Put your finger right here in Daniel 9. Drop over to Ephesians 1:10. Because I want you to see where this thing is headed. He already told us. Now, he told Daniel. He told Daniel through the prophet that's only going to be 70 years. So he gave Daniel an advance. So Daniel could say, now I know how to pray. God's already told me what he's going to do. Well, if we knew what he was going to do, we could do the same thing. Amen? Ephesians 1:10 says this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, I want you to look, let me just read it for you again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about here. You have this timeline that's going on, and God's been moving since creation all the way to this restoration that's coming. And he's worked all these nations in between here, all national histories, all Babylon, all of Greece, all of Rome, all of Spain, all of Portugal, all of Europe, all of China, all of those different kingdoms that have risen. They've all been a part of this overall plan, because here's where he's going. That in the dispensation of the fullness of all those times, he brings all things to a close in Christ Jesus. This is where he's headed. You can know that. You know the will of God. You may not know what is the will of God for this particular nation, but you can know what is the will of God for it all. This is where he's headed. And since you are a people who stepped out of time long enough to be eternal children of God, you can look back and say, then what do I want? The dispensation of the fullness of the times, I want to see everything brought together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know for that to take place that the times of the Gentiles has to come to a close sometime. Rome isn't any more. Greece isn't any more. Persia isn't any more. Babylon's not any more. There may come a day when America is not any more. Whatever it's going to be, he's used all of those kingdoms to bring the knowledge of Christ into all of the world. And that's where he's headed. All right? That's where this whole thing is going to go. Now, let me go another step further with you. Know what his plan is. So we've given you that. Now, realign your thoughts with his. What am I saved from? What am I saved for? What did he do all this for? Why did he pay for my sins? Why did he pay for them in full? Was I saved just simply to relax my way till I die and go to heaven? Or was I saved for a real purpose? Is there something that fits in with what he's planning to do? What does he want done? How do I fit in with that? I'm a child of God. You realize our prayer fits in with that. Our testimony and witness fits in with that. The knowledge of God fits in with that. That's how he brings all things to a close in Christ Jesus. You are his plan. I've said my first point is to take responsibility. Let's just go over that just for a moment. We have received many privileges and blessings from our forebears, have we not? Man, we're sitting here today in comfort. We're sitting here today with each other. We're sitting here today in relative peace. Unless something pretty rare takes place, nobody's going to be in here to stop us from doing this today. You're a blessed people. I can tell you that isn't the way it is everywhere. But it is the way it is here. And it's all our forebears, the grace of God, that has brought all that to us. Is it not? How many of you are loving to accept the privileges and blessings you got from that? Yeah, it's good to accept that. I'm glad for that. Now, let me ask you this also, though. We must also be responsible for the mistakes made along the way. You know, if we're going to receive, then we have to be responsible for what went wrong, too. And that's Daniel's prayer. Would you look back with me at Daniel 9 just for a moment? In Daniel 9, he says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God." Listen how he gets a good idea who God is. "Who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." He knows who he is. He's in that covenant relationship. Do you know you're in a covenant relationship with your God? Do you understand the awesome sovereign power of Almighty God? Then he says, "Those guys have sinned and they've been naughty people. They did nasty things, and here we are today because of them." Notice, it's we, not they. "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land." Stop just for a minute. Daniel, we have, is one of those guys that you never find anything written against him. Everything that's ever written about him is about his righteousness, his faith, the many receptions of Word of God that he received, his visions, the prophecies about the worlds to come are in this book. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man given over. And I know that the scriptures tell us that it's the Spirit of Christ that speaks prophecies. It's the Spirit of Christ who brought these things. So here is a man who is inhabited by the Spirit of Christ who's speaking these very things. Everybody follow what I'm saying? He is speaking what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling him to say about the future. He is speaking that, and he himself is saying, "We have sinned." Look, Jesus Christ so identified with you. Now follow this, and this is going to be some heavy, deep theology, okay? Jesus Christ so identified with each one of us that he could look at our sin and say, "We, not you. We have sinned." Why do I know that? Why did he die? It wasn't for his own sin, but he'd done known. It was his identity with us. We have sinned. When we talk about taking responsibility, we take responsibility for everything that goes on. Look, if we stop blaming others for the conditions we are in and be the change you want to see, is it not time for us to stop blaming the government for where we're at? Okay, so they've blown their responsibility. Have you blown your responsibility as a parent? Have you blown it as a spouse? Have you blown it as a citizen? Let's stop blaming others. Here's the deal. As long as you blame others, you are totally powerless. You can't do anything. I don't like it when I hear it at school. I couldn't get my work done because blah, 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 blah. Stop blaming others. Here's the deal. As soon as you take responsibility, you can change it. But as long as you blame somebody else, they have to change it, and you have to sit there as a victim. Nothing I can do about it. I'm just helpless, powerless. Stop being powerless. You are a child of God. The whole purpose of intercession is that intercessors take on what others have done, themselves included. And they go to intercession. "This is what we have done." And Daniel's doing exactly that. "Lord, here's what we have done. We've rejected your precepts. We've turned our back from you. We've not accepted what it is. He says that we have done it. Responsibility, yes, gives you the power to change the humility needed for God's grace. It's the ground for prayers of repentance and restoration. We have drifted into what I was going to call simply practical atheism by depending on political or economic resources to guide us. We're trusting something else to get us through. If you're thinking somehow or another, these two candidates or three or 15 or however many you want to look at are somehow going to rescue us, who's your God? They're not going to rescue us. Why are we in the mess we're in? And you may not agree with me. You may say, we're not in a mess. Things are going real well. I like what's going on in this world. I've never had it better. Well, okay, that's just not the same world the rest of us are living in. We're in the mess we're in because of who we are and what we did. And that's why the little ivory sheet was given to you. This is a little ivory sheet. I just took some things. And yes, these are my thoughts, because right now I'd like you to consider what the Word of God taught us we're supposed to do. Love God with all our hearts. Love our neighbors, ourselves, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Three big commands. That's what we were told to do. I'm simply saying, how are we filling those out? How are we doing with our fulfillment of it? So I wrote simply this. We've sinned and twisted your way to please ourselves. We've used it to excuse unkind, unloving behavior toward others to mask our own pride. And we have. There are times we've called all kinds of things abominations so that the people who knew that they were doing those abominations would know how upset we are with them for it. When the truth of the matter is, he called gossip an abomination. He called dividing brothers and sisters an abomination. He called being swift to shed blood abomination. Now, let me just say this. When you're swift to shed social blood, you're just as guilty as shedding real blood. When we're into the whole name-calling thing, we're just as guilty of murdering somebody as the one who actually murders them. That's what Jesus taught us in Matthew 5. What I want us to do simply today is take responsibility. Some of the things we've written here. You are righteous and we are ashamed. That's found in the verses that we can look at here. Look with me. We'll pick up our reading of verse 7 in Daniel 9. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off and all the countries which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they've committed against you. Now he uses they there because those are people who are off far away from him. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before, us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. He understood what the law had said. He understood that when they weren't obedient, this is what would happen. America is not Israel, and I'm not even trying to say so. The church is not Israel, and I'm not trying to say that either. Both of those are wrong concepts. The simple truth is, here's a principle. That when the people of God don't listen, and forget nationalities at this point, when the people of God don't listen to God, it brings disaster on them. Not condemnation, because Jesus bore the condemnation. But the communication that we have, the power that we have to be any kind of salt or light is lost to us. And God wanted salt and light in all our communities. That's what it was about. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pause right now and to begin to think about praying with the people who are around you. Yeah, praying out loud. It's going to be noisy in here in just a few moments, I can tell you that. I don't want anybody to pray long prayers. Don't pray a long prayer. Keep it a sentence prayer. Now, if you know something that you know has been a wrong thing to do, then I ask you just to make a sentence prayer about that one. If you want to use some of the things we have written on this ivory sheet, then do that. If you see there's something there that you are in agreement with, that, yeah, we did do that. Yeah, we have not listened. Yes, we have rebelled against it. Then say that one. But in just turn around and to the people who are behind you there, and I'd like to ask you to pray with them. You say, I don't know who they are. Shame on you. They're sitting behind you. You need to know who they are. Amen? Now's the time for us to pray. So I'd like to ask you to turn to people who are around you, in the pew with you, however you want to do it. Four or five of you together, your family together, however you want to do it. And let's have a time of confession. We have sinned. We have rebelled. Stop blaming the Clintons. Stop blaming the Trumps. Stop blaming all the other folk, the legislators, whatever else. Take responsibility. What have we done? All right? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. So get yourself organized into groups of prayer and use the little library sheet. We'll stop you in just a moment. Daniel, in his prayer, as he continued in verses 16 to 19, after he had declared and he knew that the things that had come upon them came sometimes as a direct result, or did come as a direct result of not just simply the judgment of God, but the fact that God pulled away. When the resistance of God is not in a group, when it's not in the culture, that group is left to its own imagination. And our imaginations are only evil continually. When left to our own selves, we will not choose his way, we'll not choose the good way, we'll choose the self-preservation way. And Daniel understood that we are who we are because God had to leave us. We were leaving him, and finally he left us to ourselves to do what we wanted to do. He recognized that was the problem. Now I want you to look with it in verse 16 and 19, what he says. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. He had recognized this, that Jerusalem was to be the very center of everything. It was to be the place that everybody turned, that all the nations could come for prayer there, that wherever prayer was made there in that place, that there'd be forgiveness, there'd be healing of lands, there'd be all of that. Now, that place was in total ruins. There was no way to have that, the very thing that God had offered. And the city that was supposed to be the city of God was destroyed. Nothing's going there. What help could there possibly be? So he's asking that God would turn his anger away from that city, turn his anger away from that place, for that temple, in order that things could be restored. That anger of God comes, as we saw in Romans chapter 1, as God steps back and lets you do what you want. He steps back, lets you do what you want. He steps back until finally you're doing your own imaginations. That was what he had seen. And because of that, he's saying, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. We know that's why it happened. It wasn't just it wasn't just a political plan. It wasn't just a military conquest plan. It wasn't just some guy that had some neat idea about having all the wealth of Jerusalem. God could have spared Jerusalem. He did not, because the people needed to understand who he was. It goes on further. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see your desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people who are called by your name. If I can just update it to who we are. We have been called by the name of Christ. We are the people of God. We are, matter of fact, his temple. That's what he's called, the Church of Jesus Christ, his temple on earth. We are calling on him to carry out what he said he would do through this temple. He said that we would be salt and light. He said that we would bring the gospel to all people in all the world, everywhere. He said that we would be the children of God. Because that's what he said, we're going to ask him now, Lord, forgive. Lord, heal. We're turning to you. And we're going to do so in faith, knowing full well that he said, when you do, I will hear. if my people will turn from their ways and will call on my name, then I will hear them and heal their land. Gang, it's not necessarily for the restoration of America. It's for the restoration of the power of the gospel in our own lives. We've made confession of things which we have done wrong. Now let's have a prayer saying, Lord, hear. Lord, heal. We're turning to you. We're turning from our ways. We're turning to you now. We know that we have done wrong, but we know that you are right. It's to turn to his power and away from us. It's to turn to his, for his true and faithful character. We're to review his works among us. What has he done among us? We're a blessed people. There's no reason he wouldn't want to continue to bless us unless we are resistant to him. So right now, let's go to him. You say, well, what else can we do? If you know there's something you've been doing wrong, clear up what you can. I know that one thing for sure, liberty is what we're called on. And yet we may find ourselves in terrible slavery. Some of us may be in slavery to pornography. We need to get free of that. Some of us for sure are in slavery to debt. That's just as sure a slavery as any other thing. Where you've put yourself in a place where you're already spending next year's income. Matter of fact, you're already spending the next 5 years' income on something that you're only going to use right now. That's slavery, kids. He called us to be free. So clear it up. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. If you're still carrying a grudge around, stop that. We haven't got time for that. Clear that up with that person. If they will not hear you, take another one. If they will not hear you then, look, you may be better off just to suck it up. Just to say, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. If you need to correct something with somebody, then do everything you can. If they won't hear you, you're just going to have to live with the facts of that. Take somebody with you until you can finally get it cleared up. They won't clear it up with you. You'll have to leave it alone. But you'll do so with a clear conscience and a clear heart. Let's go to the Lord now, and as we turn to him, we're turning to him and say, Lord, we're turning to you now. We're turning from our own ways. We're committing to be obedient. Help me clear up whatever I can clear up. Help me change whatever I can change. Where there is bias with me, help me clear that up. Where there's been prejudice with me, help me clear that up. There is not time for us to have biases and prejudice against anybody. We're saved people. Let's keep it that way. Let's look to the Lord in prayer again. Father, because you are the God that hears prayer, that you're a God anxious to turn to people, thank you that you are that awesome and wonderful God that you are. We praise you because we ask that you would hear us just now. We cry out to you for our nation. We cry out to you for our church. We cry out to you for our families. We cry out to you for our lives. Help us to realign our thinking to yours. Renew our mind to the Spirit of God. Give us a fresh new love for your word, a fresh new love for the fulfillment of what you are going to do. You truly are the one great, awesome God. Thank you for that. Thank you for hearing us. I'm going to thank you for that in Christ's name. Daniel knew and understood that he was to pray for the people. He understood that he was crying out to God, and God was going to give him a wonderful answer. He says this in verse 20, while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord God for the holy mountain, my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision of the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me. And he talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. When did that answer to prayer start? Immediately. As soon as his heart was turned toward God, he immediately sent an answer to that. Do you see the beauty of that? When we have turned our heart to the Lord and begin to pray that way, immediately he is sending an answer to prayer. Why? Because he's the one that motivated the prayer to start with. He was waiting for us to get in line with what he was doing. When our hearts are lined up with the I want that he says he's going to do, he's ready to answer. So our last movement is just simply to say this: thank you, God, because you do hear our prayer. Thank you because you heard it this morning. We have prayed in faith. We have prayed in repentance. And don't be half-hearted about the thing. Get wholehearted. If you see there's things on here that you have done, or if there's something else that God's convicted you about, get that thing straightened up. We know that the part of the problem that's come upon us is because we're not being faithful to him. Let's clear that up. Let's clear that up. Now, let's close in prayer. So with the people that you're praying for, thank him for answered prayer, would you? As I put it here, the purpose of God in Christ are good, merciful, life-giving, and for the restoration and healing of people. He's not out for the destruction. He says, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. I have no delight in the destruction of nations. I have delight in their healing. I have delight in their restoration. But I want them to want it just as much as I want to do it. I want to know that what I'm giving is what they want. Anticipate his answer to prayer, and then let's live as forgiven children of God, empowered and equipped and prepared for the greatest work on earth, living the compassionate, forgiving, merciful, and loving life of Christ. Let's go to him now in thanksgiving. For ideas there, we've also given you a last movement on the back page. Thank you, Father, for saving our lives and making us your children. Thank you, Father, for saving our lives and making us your children. Thank you that we know you are the God who hears and answers prayer. And we've asked these prayers with sincerity of heart, in faith in you, knowing that we are asking the will of God. We do want what Jesus wants. We know, Father, that you want to bring all things together to a close in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are moving all the nations of the world to that moment. We thank you for what you're going to do in answering this prayer. We thank you for however you answer this prayer. We may have begun this too late. Perhaps you've already turned to let us live further in the way we wanted to live. But we are turning to you. And we know that you are the God who answers prayer when people turn to you. We thank you for however you're going to answer it, because you're too good to do evil. Thank you for giving us the government you deem best for us to become like Christ. We know that that's the greater goal you have, is to make us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for whatever you're giving us in order that that might be what we are, more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Thank you, Father. Dismiss us with your grace and with your peace. And with the undying love that you always have, help us to be the children of God reflecting that love. Help us to be living what Jesus actually taught, not what our traditions say we should. Teach us to be truly the people of God. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you again at 6 o'clock tonight.